You're being recorded.
Yep.
Okay, Parsha Vayetzeh. Well, this parsha, lots of exciting things happen. Interesting thing about the parsha is all in one paragraph in the Torah. Yaakov leaves Eretz Canaan, spends 20 years there, comes back to Canaan at the end of the parsha. It's all one paragraph.
But the Parshiot aren't Jewish, right? Split by Jews.
No, the Parshiot are Jewish in the sense that they were made for reading on the reading, you know, dividing the parsha for week by week.
Oh, I mean the paragraphs. I mean the paragraphs.
The parakim are not Jewish. The paragraphs,
right,
in the Torah are, you know, like Moshe Mitzvah. That's the original document. Going back in every document we have in the Torah has the same paragraphing. So this one doesn't get divided because, you know, and talk about it's all in one, you know, one big mass trip there. Then time outside of Eretz Yisrael doesn't count, right? It's only when you actually get to Eretz Yisrael that things happen. But we're going to talk about mandrakes. But I think it's interesting. I gave a similar shiur 4 years ago. It's a slightly different spin. So we're going to look at the mandrakes. This is Yaakov at the point where he has 4 or 6 children. And 3 wives. No, he has 4 wives at this point. And 8 children. Right? Vayelech Reuven, make it to Yechitim. And Reuven went. Reuven at this point is probably 4 or 5 years old. He goes in the Bimei Kitzyuchitim. He's going out in the time of the wheat harvest, so vegetables time. By Mesei to the Imbas Adan, he finds Dudaim out in the field. By Veyotam El Leah Imo, he brings him to his mother Leah. Tomer Rachel El Leah. So Rachel says, so Leah, Tini Nali, please give me Midudaibin that your son got. But Tomer La, and Leah says back there, Hamat Kaktech it Ishti. Wasn't it enough for you to me to steal my husband? You want to take my Judaim also? But Tomer Rachel, and Rachel says back, therefore, okay, fine. Yaakov can sleep with you tonight.
Imech.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. He will sleep with you tonight in exchange for these Judaim. And Yaakov comes home in the field in the evening, but Tomer, a light tavo that you're going with me tonight. Because I have hired you, I've rented you out for the night for because of the Judaim, and he sleeps with her. Hashem listened to Leah, but Yaakov ben Chamishi, and she gets pregnant with her 5th child. When the child is born, she says, Natan Elkim Schari, God is giving me my reward, Natati Shivchati Leishi, because I have given my maidservant, that was Bilha, to my husband, but they called him Yisachar, and she called him Yisachar. So that's the story with Dudaim, that's the paragraph there, and it's not clear what exactly Dudaim are. But obviously, they wanted both Rachel and Leah wanted to do something special. Rashi translates it as jasmine, from the Arabic yasmin. But most people translate it as mandrakes. So that's a mandrake right over here. It is a root vegetable. It's got leaves. It actually has little fruits on there when in season. It's got this big, complicated root thing. And in case you want to, you can grow them in your own garden if you want. So I will say that everything I know about mandrakes comes from Avram Davidson, who's a fascinating writer, science fiction writer, fantasy, mystery, some nonfiction. Was from for most of his life, attended YU for a little bit in the 1940s. Biography, the foreword said about him, they discovered Eastern religions in the 70s, and relinquished his yarmulke after staying in Japan, ended up with some weird Japanese cult at the end of his life. He was a medic in Israel in 1948, returned to the U.S., served in the U.S. Marines as a medic. According to Wikipedia, he was given special dispensation to keep his beard while in the Marines. And his writing was literary, dry humor, long, complicated, sesquipedalian words. That's kind of the thing I like. Long, complicated words. And he has a book called Adventures in Nonfiction, Adventures in Unhistory, where he looks at cryptozoology, which is animals that don't really exist. Dragons, yetis, origin of various legends. And here's this great line in there. Although the wombat is real and the dragon is not, nobody knows what a wombat looks like, and everyone knows what a dragon looks like. Legends have more reality than reality sometimes. So, he has one of the articles in this book is about the mandrake, based both on medieval stuff, some Hindu stuff, and the story of the Torah as well. And it's a real plant. And like many plants, it's got poisonous chemicals called alkaloids, like caffeine and nicotine and atropine. Any drug that's got the ene at the end is a plant alkaloid. That's the plants that are designed to defend them against being eaten by humans. They're poisons. The human beings aren't that smart. The human being sees a new plant or anything, the first question is, can I get high from it? And I don't know who tries these things to get the right dose, because you eat a whole mandrake, they'll kill you. But if there's the right amount, then it's got scopolamine in there, which is a real chemical. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Wait, is that your apartment? Is that a bookcase behind you? Ooh.
Ooh. And you unpack the books.
Very nice.
This is credit to Aaron and his searching and his building. And thank you to IKEA Netanya, who has bookcases.
They actually got the IKEA one, did.
That's yes. 10 minutes from us, Davida. Next time you go to IKEA in Netanya, let me know. I'll come meet you.
We didn't go. We paid for extra shipping.
Oh.
Because there's one near Haifa, so we were trying to get from there, but they were out of stock. Netanya was the first one to be back in stock. So we figured, like, we couldn't fit this in our car. Car is like this big. So we had to ship it anyway. So we had to pay a little extra for Netanya, but.
All right. And then you assembled it.
Over there. Yeah. Then it came in a bunch of boxes, and then so Aaron built it, and then one of our neighbors has like a real power tools to do the brackets, because here it's cement, not drywall. It's drywall over the cement. So bracketing, you can't just like drill a hole. It's like you need, I don't know, whatever heavy duty.
The real way to get into concrete is with a gunpowder tool.
So I don't know. There was a lot of debris.
Oh, so he has just industrial, heavy duty drill with diamond.
I think that's, yeah. So.
It's nice. Okay. Show it really to us again. Show it to us. Really nice.
It's the Billy, but then we put the doors on the bottom. This is the Kfira section, so we keep it closed.
Very good.
And then it also has the extra, like we also got the extra shelf on top. So they're not quite to the ceiling, but they're pretty tall.
That's three. Looks built in. Beautiful.
That's great.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
So this was really all Aaron. So.
Yay, Aaron.
I just like told him like where to put it and which color, and I helped him hold the door so that the door, we tried to get, but they're pretty even.
Good. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? You can adjust them up and down, sort of fine-tune those doors.
Yeah, but there's like a bunch of things. Like there's like three screws inside the hinges. So yeah, depending on which screw you do, we'll get the angle, we'll get the height, we'll get Good job. Wait, I see that you were talking about mandrakes, and I'm so sad that I came late. Can I just leave it for a second?
Yes, we're talking mandrakes. Here's a picture of a mandrake.
Yes. Mandragora.
Yep. You like mandrakes?
What?
That's right. It's very good. They're mandragora, actually. Evidently, how Davidson says to pronounce it. Original, it comes from the Sanskrit word mandragora, which means sleep substance. Because the active ingredient, here we go, is scopolamine in there, and it will make you high if you take enough of it, and then will kill you if you take enough of it. It's not good. Probably the origin of the, if you know your Harry Potter, the mandrakes scream when you pull them out of the ground. That's not, he says, not the mandrakes screaming. It's the person trying to get high from the mandrakes is screaming because it's also a hallucinogen. It's a bad trip. But scopolamine is used as an anti-nausea medicine, anti-cramping. It's a sedative. It's used in pregnancy and childbirth.
It still is.
People use scopolamine. Hyoscyamine is an antispasmodic. You can use that. Levsyn is the brand name. And Transcop, I think, was a patch for car sickness. I don't think they still make that, though.
Transcop.
Most of these plant-based medicines, it's fine medicine. Just
it looks like it right. A ginger plant. Is that like?
It looks very much like ginger. Yeah, it's got the knobby root. That's going to be important. So pay attention to that. Okay, it's
your arm's upset now that you're saying it's a mandrake. I don't know. I missed the video.
I'm going to go with mandrake. Rati says jasmine. I'm going to go with mandrake. We're going to go with mandrake for a very good reason.
That's
Ibn Ezra.
Arn wants to know what Dr. Felix says. Who's Dr. Felix?
I don't know offhand. If you don't go due to him being mandrake, then none of this makes sense. We have to assume that for the purpose of this year, we have to go with mandrake because the translation would be due to him. Okay, because, again, associated with childbirth, associated with fertility and all that, but what's striking about it is the shape of the mandrake root over here. And this is again, from Avram Davidson. Have you heard of him?
It sounds like one of those names, but... Then again,
nice from Guy, science fiction writer, who has a great article on mandrakes. There was a mandrake. It looked like an entire human body, in that the root was often bifurcated or forked, giving the appearance of legs. Sometimes the root divided further, think of arms and legs. In short, it looked like a human body. So it must be good for the entire human body. So you eat this little human-looking thing. Now, this picture of a real man doesn't look very human here. You can see arms and a little body here and maybe a head. And eating it obviously helps you get a human body inside you. So it's a fertility drug, right? That's how things work. If it looks like it, then it works. So eventually, the shape of the plant mandrake took possession of the minds of men. Once it became fixed, the power of mandrake rested in its man-like shape. Its medical uses began to be forgotten. And that's in Harry Potter, they're planting mandrakes, which basically look like little babies at the end of the plant there. And this was a great line, quoting from like a mid-19th century book. Because what do you do when you want to sell mandrakes to the unsuspecting public? Same thing that pharmaceutical companies do now. You lie, cheat, and steal. Surprising results are obtained by carefully digging out the little
arm's
plant.
Really upset now.
By binding it with thread. I'm sorry?
The arm's really upset now.
Sizing and scratching and bandaging, after which is replanted so it continues to grow for some time. So you take you dig up your mandrake, you carve the shape of the root so it looks more human-like, then you put it back in the ground. Unless different abrasions and wounds are grown over the root, is the root again dug out. When it becomes shrunk and quite dry, it's often difficult to distinguish the artificially modified parts. The clever artist will thus produce little figures which look entirely natural, whose genuineness no one would suspect. So you would sell little human being roots as your fertility drug. That's the origin, that's the ace, that's the mandrake. So that's cool. The question is, why do I care?
people would eat it.
Right. Or yeah, you would make a tea out of it.
And edibles. Make some edibles.
Right. And then, you know, you would have a good time with your friends, assuming you got the dose right. I'm assuming that's what Rachel is telling Leia. I would like your Duda M. So acts as a fertility drug, aphrodisiac, would attract Jacob to me, we'll party. But the question is, why do I care about Duda M? Aside from the fact that it's kind of a cool story, and especially the part about faking it was great, you know, carving up beforehand. But the answer is that Reuben's descendants cared. The Duda Im was the symbol of Reuben on his flag, and here is a little proof of that from an Israeli stamp of Reuben with his Duda Im. But that's the flower, is not the root. It's not the way Ibn Ezra stands it. So this is the source for it. Simanim hayulachol nasiv nasi. Each nasi had his own symbol. Mapa, a flag, the tseba alkom mapa with its own unique color. Reuben abano odem. Reuben's stone in the Choshen was the Odem stone, Mapavshelo Adom, and he had a red flag. Mitziar Alav Dudaim. The picture on his flag of the tribe of Reuven was the Dudaim.
The Dudaim is referring to the whole plant, right? Not particularly to the roots or the stems or the leaves.
Well, it's not clear. That's what it says. Now, the picture on the little stamp that Israel put out has the flower part on here. Ibn Ezra says specifically that no, it was the root. This is the way Ibn Ezra has put it. Looks at the flags of the four camps around the Mishkan. You had Reuven, Yehuda, Yosef, and Dan. Each flag had their own symbol. Kabrinena Amru, and he's quoting Chazal. Shuba Degel Reuven, Shurat Adam. The flag of Reuven has an image of a person. Because we're learning after the Dudaim. So if you want to call it a stylized mandrake root or a stylized human being, that's the image that was on their flag.
You know, maybe it's some corruption, you know, Adam and Adom. Maybe they got mushed.
That's interesting. I don't know if that's the color, if that's also Adam.
I mean, because the Israeli flag postage system made it green, not red.
Right. I mean, the stamps of that Torah machine, Sisina, I know that. So I can't.
It shows a little ignorance of, anyway.
I'm sorry. It was the Tzurat Adam Mikoch Drash Dudaim. That's Reuven. The Dudaim somehow look like people. Guess, Aaron, how you fit that to Jasmine or not. That's basically what I'm looking at. Whether you want to go with the mandrake root or not, I don't know. The mandrake is known for its kind of humanoid looking. Del Yehuda Tzurat Aryeh, and Yehuda had a lion. They got Ephraim Tzurat Shur, and Ephraim had the ox. We know that. They got Dan Tzurat Nesher, and Dan had an eagle on there. Everyone else says it was a snake, and I've talked about how you get from eagles to snakes, from Nesher to Nachash.
I'm also now upset with that. Close your ears.
What did he say? Okay. I was bothered by the Nachash thing.
Ricky Vulture.
I have to send him the Barbanel who says the Nachash Nesher was a dragon, a winged snake. We're done. The symbol was a dragon, which also goes into
Ebenezer doesn't link it to Dudaim.
Yeah, Shurat Adam Mikoch Drash Dudaim.
He was saying, because he's Dudaim, so they need a person. Really, yeah. That's the whole point of Dudaim. He's saying that's in car.
Yeah, I'm picturing these little.
I'm going to say what the Mikoch Drash is there. He says that the image was of a person because of the Dudaim.
Right.
That's Ibn Ezra. Right. I'm the one who's saying, well, the obvious connection in my mind is the. That was the mandrakes are known for. Okay, the bottom line of these four flags, though, is because that's the image that Yechezkel had of the Kruvim. And his vision of the Merkava being carried, right, that's from Yechezkel. when he had this vision, the Merkava, the divine chariot carrying the Shekhinah out of Yerushalayim. They're being carried by Kruvim. Leave those untranslated. And they have faces, Pnei Adam, a face of a human being, Pnei Aryeh, a lion, Aryeh on the right side, Larbatan for all four, Pnei Ashur, Pnei Asmol, Larbatan, the four had an ox on the other side, Pnei Neshel, Larbatan, and the Neshel, the eagle, on the other side. But Yechezkel has this vision of Kruvim carrying the Merkava out, throws them in the animals in all four directions. And I've said this before, that those Kruvim symbolize Knesset Yisrael. In other words, Bnei Yisrael are the ones carrying the Shekhinah, are carrying the Merkava, Kabbalistically speaking. Bnei Yisrael carry the Shekhinah in the world. That's our job. We're supposed to bring the Spirit of God in here. So Bnei Yisrael is this camp that has these four flags. That, in Yechezkel's vision, are the four faces of the Kruvim. Human, ox, lion, eagle. And the Mishkan Beit HaMikdash are full of these images of Kruvim. They're all over the place. Right, we have the Mishkan itself was made with curtains that Mishkan etase erser yoyot, make it out of 10 curtains, sheish marsar, tchelef agamam, tlachani, all these various fabrics. Kruvim maseh choshev, woven with Kruvim, that's how you make that's the body of the Mishkan. The walls of Mishkan. As Rashi points out, Kruvim Maseh Choshev, what does Maseh Choshev mean? Kruvim Hayu Mitzayarim Behem Barigata. That the Kruvim, images of the Kruvim were woven into the walls of Mishkan. Lo Rukima, not embroidered, Shumasa Machat, like with a needle afterwards, Ela Bariga B'Shnei Ketalim. But it was actually woven into the fabric itself, the design was woven into it. And you look at, there'll be different image on each side of it, from the way it was rolled.
I'm going to get a show and tell. One minute. I'm going to get a show and tell. Something.
Woven.
Not exactly. One minute.
I'm curious.
Now, I'm curious what this what she just showed us. We gotta get to the punchline here. Rashi, though. You do anything for your birthday?
I didn't think this was Kruvim, but look at this.
What? Oh, what? One,
Oh, that's bigger. That's cool.
Oh, that's just.
Right? Those are, I didn't even think of the Kruvim, but.
Yeah, cool. we need four different faces on that one. But
an
the image of the Kruvim, Rashi says, Ari mitzadzeh and Nesher mitzadzeh. A lion on one side, eagle on the other side. In other words, those are Kruvim. So a Kruv, in the sense that it was in the Mishkan, could be any of those four images. Lion,
it's very good
eagle.
Kruv is cabbage.
What?
So, a Hebrew Kruv is cabbage. So now I'm picturing like a cabbage patch baby.
These are the cherubs, the little fat babies with wings, Michelangelo. Okay. So on the Kruvim on the Aron were an image of human beings. So. We have Rashi mentions the lion, the eagle, we have the human there, the shore, the ox is left out in the Mishkan, because that was the inspiration for Egel Hazah, so that had a bad name, and we've talked about that before, is that they tried to make their own Kruvim, that was, they picked the eagle there, and so that kind of left out, but in the actual Beit HaMikdash, they had plenty of shore in as well, the Yam Shel Shlomo, the big water reservoir, was held up by oxen. So they had images of all four of these. But the Kruvim, the ones we think about, the ones that go cherub, the ones in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, were Pnei Adam. They were human beings. Like Ben Ezra, Amukad Benenu, Kitzur Kruvim, Kishnei Na'rim, that the Kruvim on the Aron were like two children. Bershu Kruvia, Beloshon Arami, that they connected it to the Aramaic word Ruvia, which means child, the Kaf. Or a kaf mishare, and the kaf is a comparative word. They kut ruvia, they're like children. Achon dibru, So you could throw out Yodim, Mimi Kabbalah, and Ebenezer will accept that this is a Kabbalah. He doesn't have any pictures of the Kruvim there, don't know. So that's where we end up. The real Kruvim are the symbol of Reuben. You know, the ones that end up in the Beit in the Kodesh Kodeshim, the ones that are called the Merkava, is the symbol of Reuben, the Adam. Yeah, I'm saying that's connected to the Dudaim. And the question is, why pick those? Why not have lions on there? Like, you look at the Art Scroll Chumash, it's got the little lions rampant on the side of the two tablets. Why not eagles or dragons? You know, Reuben, it just isn't that important a tribe. Right? He's not the leader of an Israel. He's almost irrelevant in the rest of Jewish history. So I'm going to connect that to a nice Dvar Torah. Try to answer, what is it? What makes the Judaim so important? And this way of looking at it, they become the symbol of Kareem, the symbol of that which carries the Merkabah, the symbol of Bnei Israel. And it's a wonderful way of looking at the story of Judaim, and I don't know where it was from, and I thought it was Ayat Klapper, but he says it wasn't him, and I can't find where I heard this. So, it's not original. We have a picture here of a lion, person, ox, and what's that in the back? I guess that must be an eagle there with wings. Okay, there is an actual photograph on a phone, so it must be real, from the internet of a crew. We're going to look just at the front one, okay? So we're going to look at the Haftorah for Rosh Hashanah, right? Komar Hashem kol bara manishma. A voice in Ramai cries out. It is heard nehi b'chi temerim, a bitter cry of weeping.
Oh my goodness.
What?
What's the
saying? I'm not saying yet. Okay. Rachel is crying for her children, right? This is Yirmiyahu looking at the exile and of their potential return. And she refuses to be consoled for her children because they are gone, they are lost. This is Rachel of Akelba now. Komar Hashem, and the Shem says, Mani kolech mibechi. Stop crying. Stop weeping. Let your eyes hold back their tears. Because there's a reward for all your actions.
Rabbi Foreman has a beautiful works with this, with the Sachar. And yeah, what's the Sachar? What did Rachel do? Look him up on this.
Maybe it was Rabbi Foreman then. I have to look that up. That may be Rabbi Foreman.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yes, Sachar. Okay, so this may be. Yes, Sachar, but Techno Hashem, the Shabu Me'eretz Oyev, and they will return from the land of the enemies. Yes, we kfal, Achle Techno Hashem. There's hope in the end, says God. The Shabu Banim Lebulam, and there your children will return to their boundaries. Nice and Tioni. That's what we sing before we make Aliyah. It says, yes, what's the pu'ula? What is it that Hashem is saying there's reward for what you did? Out of that, if you're just reading very locally, it's because of the mevakeh, it's because of the crying. Right? There's a reward for your crying, and that's the malbim yeshtachal platech, mash, sha'at metalelet adam, you're dabbing to them, so we'll be rewarded. And we know the agada about that. What is she crying? What was she being rewarded for? Our parsha.
Giving the signals, right? Giving Leah
right.
That's
the simanim, right? That's the agadata. It comes from Echa Rabba. That moment, Rachel jumps in front of Hashem. Rabbi Shalom says, go God. You know that Yaakov loved me. Love me terribly. And he's worked on my behalf for 7 years. And when it was time to get married, and my father decided he's going to switch me for my sister. And this was tough for me, because I realized this was going to happen. I knew my father. And I let Yaakov know, and I gave him the secret code words, so he would know that it was really me. So my father couldn't switch us around. And afterwards, I changed my mind. And I suffered through my own desires. I had pity on my sister, that she shouldn't be humiliated. And so that evening, when father switched my sister in, I started the chuti called simanim shemashati bali, and I gave her those simanim. Bcs sabur shehi rachel, so that he would think she was me. That's what I did. Mashanish ani basar v'dam, and I rachel telling Hashem, and I'm just human. Afar ve'aper, dust and ashes. Lo kaniti v'tzara sheli, I held back my jealousy on my co-wife. Lo atzei tia lebushal kapat, I refused to allow her to be embarrassed. Bata Melchai Vakem, and you are the eternal king, Rachaman, you're merciful. So what are you being so jealous on Bnei Israel? Because they betray, because they're trying to switch you out with some other idols. Leita and Igalita Banai, and you exiled my children, Nargu Bacherab, they're being killed. Batu Ayvim, Bam Kir Sanam, their enemies are doing what they will with them. Miyanikagu Rachamash Gosh Barhu, and that's the point where Hashem says, Hashem's mercy was awakened. V'amar b'shvilech Rachel, for you Rachel, ani machazir Yisrael mekamam. I will bring them back. Since you, your action was giving her the simanim, I will have pity on Bnei Israel as well. Hadutiyah it says, from Hashem, ani kolet u'bechi, v'niach midyamak, yesh sechal potech. That's the reward for your actions. That's lovely, but it's not in the text. Right? There's no that doesn't say anything about that kind of story. So we'd like to have something that there's a pu'ula, the yes pu'ula sarech, like there's something in there. What does Rachel do that warrants rewarding? And Hashem says, okay, I'm gonna bring your children back from exile. Maybe we'll be ready for my also before he gives them Shabbos. So what's unique about Rachel? So there's another midrash Sechel tells that looks at this exchange the Judaim specifically. That when Leah names her child Yisachar, she says, Kinatan, where to go? Natati es shifchati. Es shachari asher atati shifchati liishi. It was the reward because I allowed my husband to marry my maidservant. Nothing there about Judaim. And she gives the Duda in to Rachel, sleeps with Yaakov that night. She gets pregnant, and she says, I got my reward for allowing him to marry Bilhah. And the reason was, because really it was all about the Duda'im. But Lo Ratzel is also Davar B'Davar Kal B'Duda'im. But she didn't want to public, you know, she's giving a speech about the baby naming, because that's what you do, why you name it. And she doesn't want to say, well, I got to sleep with my husband that night because I gave my sister Judaim. That's the davar kal. That's inappropriate to say. That, right? Ella basher natashi shifchati lishi. That's what she said instead as the reason for the Yisachar. I was rewarded. But she calls him Yisachar. So my yeshli sachar mashesiti. I have reward for what I did. Ul v'shon hevtiach akash barlu balei Torah shnemar ki yesh sachar lupotech. See that? That's the pun here. Yesh sachar lupotech. That Yisachar is a result of what you did. But this is talking about Leah, not Rachel yet. And the thing about Yisachar is that it's got two shins, or shin is sin, Yisachar, two sins. We always say one, Nikrit. Because really, Leah in mind, the two different things that you is going to have a reward, the public reason and the private one of the Judaim. Skaratina Zilpa Yaakov, the one for Zilpa, the Skaratina that the Judaim, the Rachel, and the reward for her giving up those Judaim. Hilo Tatadavar El Beskar Rishon, and she only publicized the first Rishon, the first reason. Lahachi Ein Anu Karim Lach the Shina Rishon. That's why you don't read the first one. Two sins rather. Ashina Ktevit Lidroshba. L'mostra sechar l'udaim. But that this, the second one is written that for the drush of it, it's a hint at the word for giving up the duda'im, being darshan in the way we said it there. So Yisachar was reward for Leah for giving up her duda'im. So the suggestion is what is that both sisters really gave something up. Now that I said it, it sounds like Leah gave up her duda'im, but Rachel gave up Yaakov. It still was a sacrifice. She accepted that what happens at that moment with this transaction with Duda'im is she accepts Leah as Yaakov's wife. She would get the reward for that. That's the Yisachar L'Pu'atech, the reward for her. And that, and she really gave up a lot from this incident. From Shimon Bar Nachman Amar, Zu Hefsidu Duda'im, Leah gave up her Duda'im, V'nishka Kura B'Shvatim V'Kura Imo. Leah got more Shvatim and was buried with Yaakov. Rachel Nishnakrab Duda'im, Rachel got the Duda'im, Pisida Shvatim Kuratimo, was never buried with Yaakov. And so you have this concept of
Okay.
So in other words, Leah gives up the Duda'im. Gives us something physical, and Rachel gives up this sort of status as being the Ikar HaBayit. She accepts Leah as a co-wife to this. And it's important for Sefer Bereishit, because what doesn't happen? There are conflicts between siblings, and nobody ends up dead. Nobody ends up in attempted murder. Nobody ends up kicked out. That's the last co-wives with Hagar and Sarah. Nobody gets exiled. No Asa being kicked out of the house. They have a profound difference, and they work it out. Sounds like a cheap transaction here, but I'm a capitalist. That's a much better way to deal with conflict than fighting.
Well, they do sell Yosef.
Oh, their children don't get that.
What do they do though?
Oh, this is that generation. Uh-huh.
Right. Their children will not understand what it means to resolve conflict without trying to kill somebody or sell them to slavery. This is the problem. But the Duda'im there are the symbol of unity that's possible when we're giving something up, relinquishing something else there. And so it's those Duda'im that really would have allowed the 12 diverse tribes to become one nation. Everyone's willing to be able to give up. It's not all about me. And that's what allows Bnei Yisrael to be the Merkava, carry the Shekhinah together, that they have to be unified. The Duda'im becomes the symbol of all of Bnei Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael as a whole. And that's good. And
nothing intrinsic about the Duda'im themselves, but because of the way that they were used, they're a symbol of unity.
Right. I think the Duda'im is a symbol of this transaction.
But it could have been Jasmine also. Meaning like it could have been anything, yeah. But that was the medium through which this happened.
So Duda'im definitely were, even if they were Jasmine, the only thing that makes argument for the Mandrake translation is the fact that Duda'im are in Yechezkel's vision, Shirat Adam. We have to explain that somehow, how we get from Duda'im if the Raven to the Adam and the Kuvim. But either way, it's the fact that it's possible to work together, to remain one family even with differences. That's what the Duda'im symbolize. And that's why they are what end up as the Kuvim that are in the Kodesh Kodeshim carrying the Shekhinah in the world. And one could assume that it's the women who do a better job than the men do in terms of resolving conflict, but I won't go there.
But they had to have some real value. You know, Leah gave them up. I mean, what is she?
Right. Right.
She gave up
Right. Clearly there was something there, and it's in the context of Rachel wanting children, so we're assuming it has something to do with the children, you're having children at some point, which again goes with the Mandrake idea as well. I don't know if Jasmine has that. They certainly smell nice. But So we should
nice.
Be certainly willing to transact with one another, trade, and not fight. I will stop recording.